Hello, everybody. Good evening and welcome to another Hard Truth with myself, David Vance, and Alana Mercer. Hi, Alana.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very well, all things considered. I think we've
all things considered, for sure.
We've survived another week without World War III. So at this point, I think that's probably a good result. I don't know about you, but you know, we just plunge from one sort of in level of insanity to another one. But before we get started, we got a lot to talk about in the next 30 minutes. But just to say to the people watching this, now some of you have subscribed, but a lot more if you haven't subscribed. So go below, hit the subscribe button. As we get the truth out here, help Alana, help myself. I'd like you to do that, please. And we'd both like you to do that. So if you can do that, and of course, this is, as we always say, if you want to leave comments, we'll always respond. If you want to hit the rumble button, which is to give us a like, that's all good as well. So that's your part of the deal. Mm-hmm. And our part of the deal is to try and make sense and to deliver, I guess, Alana, a few hard truths in a world which is crazy. So I've got a lot of stuff what we want to crack through in a short time, but I wanted to start the whole thing off by playing you a little short clip, which I've picked up. And it's basically the history of Europe, for want of a better word, very, very swiftly done in about 30 seconds, over the last 60 years, looking at Russia, looking at, you know, Ukraine, the West, all of that, and NATO, specifically NATO. So just to put things in context, because you know this and I know this, context is everything. Without context, you know, you could be led to the slaughter and not even know that you're going to be there. And so I wonder, can we play this little clip, Alana? And I'd like your thoughts when you see it. It's just going to come up, hopefully. There it is, Alana.
Yeah, very, very dramatic, static and dramatic.
Static and dramatic, yes.
Yeah, sort of a contradiction, but certainly it's quite clear who's aligning against who, you know, in the whole balance of what's happening there, the dynamics. That's quite a good video, David.
Yeah.
Well, I think Putin might have had reason to be slightly concerned.
I think you're an understatement, I suspect. If I was sitting in the Kremlin over the last 30, 40 years, I mean, okay, no one sits that long, but you know what I mean. And you're observing the geopolitical world in Europe, and you're seeing all that change, Alana. And this is the point I've tried to make to some people. You know, at least try and understand there are different perspectives. The Russian perspective, in the context of what we've just looked at, in terms of how NATO was fundamentally filled the void, it's gone right up to Russian borders. You know, it's surely understandable, Alana, that Putin, because he's been in charge now for about whatever it is, 20 odd years, is understandably alarmed about some of the stuff that's been going on. And you know, that video obviously stops at 2020, 2021, 2022 right now. But if we were able to go into the future for another 4 or 5 years, given the things that NATO have been saying in some of these countries, the so-called NATO border will encircle Russia. So what else can Putin do but be alarmed?
I guess context too is that on the face of it, this is a war of aggression, and the images and the refugees, what is coming out of Ukraine, the destruction of the cities, those beautiful cities, it's absolutely tragic and heartbreaking. And you and I don't propose to presume to speak for you, but I know your heart, David. We do not support wars of aggression. And on the face of it, strictly speaking, this is a war of aggression. However, Vladimir Putin was pushed to this, absolutely. And what you point out, the build-up to it over years, is indisputable. And I think if we had actually more honestly aired, news coming from Russia and discussions within Russia, maybe we would be less foolish. We'd seem less idiotic, because if you put on the War Channel, Fox News once again has gone into war mode. If you put on the War Channel, it's these stupid women and men who have absolutely no, they haven't even watched a simple, simplistic map as you have shown, but know nothing of the history of the place, don't understand what's happening. And now it's this demonization. Saddam, Gaddafi, they're so happy with this Disneyfied foreign policy, where, and I can see that the old linguistics have are rising again. The Russian people, the dictator, oppressing his people. They're interviewing a few select Russian sources. What are the Russian people feeling? As if there is absolutely no understanding in Russia of a reality other than that of the war channels of America. And so, yeah, it's most distressing. Yeah, go ahead, David.
I thought about you earlier today. I put a post out on my Getter channel. You mentioned women there. I just wanted to focus just one brief second, because it's annoyed me. So two prominent female British news presenters, one presents a radio show, the other one presents a TV show. Anyway, in the past 24 hours, one of them swooned at Zelensky, as, "Is this the greatest statesman the world has ever seen?" And then the other one, another one, she compared Zelensky to John the Baptist. And honestly, I mean, Anna, this is hysteria, which I believe we last saw in March 2020, when it came to Spanish flu, COVID outbreak, blah 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 blah. And now it's the same hysterical, not based in reality, no perspectives, no context.
David, you and I pointed out in my own column of last week, as well as in our broadcast, we spoke about real politic, the art of real politic. In other words, getting along in your neighborhood, negotiating with a superpower, optimizing the reality of your country. So Zelensky, on those fronts, did none of that. He partook in the whole American scheme of becoming a NATO member. And a de facto American liberal democracy. He's playing to the cameras. He's not Obama, because he doesn't have Obama's meager gifts, but he's certainly of that ilk. He's got the social media pat. He's got the TV optics going. He's got the foghorn. He's got the fatigues. And the Fox ladies are just loving him. So in terms of real politic, he's absolutely failed. In fact, who succeeded is Naftali Bennett. What do you think about him? Is Israel's prime minister? And I want to just mention this for if we have, I know we have many anti-Semitic viewers, but if we have any Jewish viewers, Naftali Bennett is a Orthodox Jew, and traveling on Shabbat is on the Sabbath is absolutely forbidden. And Naftali Bennett violated the Shabbat, the Sabbath, and went to meet with high-level negotiations, obviously not what we're doing, sending sending idiots like Kamala, whatever her name is. Naftali Bennett, who's been involved with Russia in the Middle East, and forever. I mean, I grew up knowing about the Russian politics and the Russian, so many Jews. I mean, my family comes from Russia. You know, growing up in Israel, you're integrated in Russia, Russian politics, Russian culture, and so on and so forth. It's almost our own. But Naftali Bennett violated Shabbat, and the premise, the religious premise, we call it halakha, or the religious ruling is pikuach nefesh, what we call pikuach nefesh, and that means saving of souls, supervising humanity. And in that mission, he went to Putin and began negotiating with him. So there is someone who's doing real politics and who's actually, obviously, Israel has self-interest here. It interacts with Russia and Syria. I think Putin even visited Israel lately. But these were top-level negotiations. And I think if the West was not playing this devious game, be like, be a liberal democracy or else, and demonizing the man, we could stop. We could have a ceasefire, talks, and stop this agony for the Ukrainians, who are really Zelensky's terribly manipulative, but he's really a moron, isn't he?
Absolutely. I never saw him as a John the Baptist figure. I don't know. It takes a particular type of stupid to think that. But there's a few things I want to get into then. We talked about this, Alana, as you recall, back at the end of January. We talked about it last week. You and I have consistently pitched this about time for diplomacy, time for cool heads, time to
de-escalate.
We said that was the actual title of of one of our broadcasts together, to de-escalate with Russia.
In January.
But there's no de-escalation going on. And one of the things that has bothered me, and I wanted to just ask your opinion on it, was that when Putin sort of put forward his mission objectives of going into Ukraine, I mean, he talked about, number one, the denazification of the Azov battalion and other elements within Ukrainian military. He talked about obviously providing protection to the two independent republics in the Donbass. He talked about that, and Crimea as well, which is historically Russian. But there was another thing, and this was the one that fascinated me. It appeared in social media a week ago when Russians in particular started to talk about the fact that one of the things they needed to do in Ukraine was to deal with the biolabs that were located in that country with US funding and connections.
And a cry went out in liberal media across the West. Can we agree that it's American-controlled media and directed media? Fake news. Go ahead, David.
Absolutely, yes. That's exactly it. It was fake news. People who talked about it, I know people who talked about it in YouTube, they were given a strike. On Facebook, they were given a 30-day ban. On Twitter, they were nuked. So we've got then, I think we have a headline that I've maybe put up. Yeah, Alana, like this is just, as you can see, it's dated whatever date that is. The back end of February. Fact check. False claim of U.S. biolabs in Ukraine tied to Russian disinformation campaign, right? So we saw that on the 20th, and then I'll come back to you in a second. And then I want to play a little video clip, if we have it here. I want to play a video clip of this lady.
Correction, she's not a lady.
My apologies, this person of undesignated gender. Here she is, and play the clip.
Ukraine has biological research facilities, which in fact we are now quite concerned Russian troops, Russian forces may be seeking to gain control of. So we are working with the Ukrainians on how they can prevent any of those research materials from falling into the hands of Russian forces should they approach.
Right.
David, this is gold. This is a 1-2 punch. So first of all, we were not supposed to, our understanding was that this was a malign lie. But look how cleverly this awful creature entity turns it on Russia, on Putin. Russia is trying to seize this vulnerable installation.
Yeah.
You know, it is the Russians' fault that it is there, and they lied about it. We have these labs over there. And there's other things. Before you, and I know you're itching to say something about this.
No, go ahead.
We obviously know that in recent weeks, at least, we've rushed to reinforce Eastern Europe with thousands upon thousands of troops and warplanes. We've done that. But here's something that that I found in The Economist, which is a left news source. They call themselves classically liberal, but they're not. They're statist. And in fact, now, by the way, I know it's a tangent, but they've gone full David Frumman. I love them for the news. I found their perspective generally quite subtle. I could tolerate it for the data that they bring to the news. Yeah. No, they've gone full-blown David Frum. Anyhow, so they reported last on the issue before last, American Special Forces, David, have been training potential partisans in Eastern Ukraine.
Yep.
You know what partisans are? Those of us who know a little bit of history know what these are. Guerrilla warfare type. This is via the Economist, so it's immutably true. This is how we are causing shit on the border there in the Donbass.
Absolutely.
And, let's take, as John Mersheimer has a concept, he calls it great power politics. I call it real politics. He calls it great power politics.
Yeah.
Let's take great power politics out of the equation and just leave it as neighbors. Imagine it's just Mexico, weak Mexico, and the United States. Now, Mexico perceive in Mexico, of course, not in the United States, that the Southwest was taken by the United States in the 1800s.
Yeah.
A lot of people think of the influx of migration from Mexico into the United States as a sort of reconquering of the Southwest, a peaceful way of doing that. But imagine if Mexico was actually not doing it peacefully just by flooding the United States with Latin Americans and Mexicans, but actually started arming people on the border with Texas and even in Texas. Imagine. Now put into the equation what Mersheimer calls great power politics, and let's make it Russia. So that makes it the Cuban Missile Crisis. Imagine if Russia helping Mexico, and we're doing that on the border with Texas.
Absolutely, and I agree. And in fact, actually, I mean, the one of the things about this that gets me is that the U.S. has admitted that they lied last week. The mainstream media covered for them. Now they're saying, well, yeah, there may be biolabs, and the Russians are saying that apparently, I think, in some of these alleged labs, which do seem to have existed, they were researching into anthrax and other experimentations. Time will tell. I think she was panicked in that video clip because she's scared, you know what, that the Russians are going to get the receipts. They will, because I believe the Russians probably do have those biolabs.
It doesn't even matter, David. That's the sad thing. Even if the Russians do put out the story as it was, and again, even if they do put out the history of this whole conflict, as it started in 2006. Takes Mersheimer as a great history of that. The West made the decision to continue to expand NATO into the Baltic states and the Ukraine. Russia in 2006 swallowed that. He puts it. They swallowed it. They were prepared to say nothing. But by 2008, the Russians made it clear that any further expansion along the Russian front would be considered an existential threat.
Which it is.
So even if they explain this, and I'm not sure that, I think the Russians understand this, but I'm not sure that Putin has explained this that well. Maybe we just don't see it. Our news is so fake, we don't see it. Mm. If they got their truth out, would there be, you say, They are, we are, the West is afraid the Russians will get a hold of that and make public. So what? We will continue with our parallel reality narrative.
Well, you're absolutely right. Because another example of how the media whitewashes is, I just wanted to bring this clip, this little headline up to show you, Alana. You might have seen this. But anyway, that's not the one I wanted. Sorry, no, not that one. There was a headline regarding Obama. Coming up right now. Yeah, this is interesting. On the National Pulse today, apparently there were deleted web pages showing that Obama himself led an effort to build a Ukraine-based biolab handling, quote, especially dangerous pathogens. Back in 2010, this was happening. It was then erased from put down the memory hole, never happened, but again, the receipts are there. But Alana, you are right.
Good job there, David. That's quite a find.
It's interesting. But in a way, as you absolutely said, listen, if they found 27 biolabs, each one of them producing a different version of COVID-19, the media, our media, would nonetheless turn around and say, yeah, but Russia's the aggressor and Putin is Hitler. And that's what they're doing, you know.
Very dangerous.
Speak
briefly about, you brought up this Newland woman. Speak briefly about her role in the February 2014 revolution.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Speak to that.
Well, when you see... So the difficulty that basically 2014 is, as you know, when essentially a democracy was overthrown, because that particular democracy was looking towards Russia to try and find a degree of comfort, and that did not plainly suit the West, basically the US, let's call it for what it is, and NATO. It didn't suit them at all. So hence they staged essentially a counter-revolution, took down the elected president, installed one particular clown in 2014. That didn't work out too well. A couple of years later, they got in Zelensky, and it's gone downhill ever since.
Has it not worked? You seem quite positive about that. About three radio stations were involved, and it reminds me, the United States installed three radio stations in Ukraine, and it reminds me of, I can't remember the name of the radio station that we installed in Iraq to blast out American propaganda when we invaded that country.
And
I think it's been quite persuasive because, you know, Zelensky's has got the storyline pat, and every Ukrainian invaded is speaking the language of a satellite state, an American satellite state. There's no deviation from the narrative. Now I understand. I mean, they are in a terrible situation. You cannot hold. You cannot expect anything from a people whose reality has been, overturned. The way what the Ukrainians are having to endure is just terrible. We're just explaining the build-up to it. But has it been unsuccessful, David, these color revolutions and the change, the advancement of the American...
Well, yes and no. I would argue, I get your point, fully on, take your point aboard, but the degree of success appears to be in moving things towards a potential world war conflict. Because again, going back to how well do people understand the Russian mindset, the Putin mindset? Just imagine if China decided to set up biolabs in Cuba. Yeah, if China wanted to do that, we're going to set up some biolabs there, but don't worry about it. It's all going to be super duper safe. America would be jumping up in arms that we'd never hear the end of it. So we know that this is exactly what they were up to in Ukraine, and we will finally get details on that. But what impression does that make on the resident in the Kremlin? What would that mean? If I was Putin, I know that I would be becoming very aggressive. And then, of course, that's Alana. Then the other thing that's happened in the past week. Economically, another one of our shared interests, the essentially the corporatists, globalists, have tried to strangle Russia, even till today's news that McDonald's have ceased their operations, Coca-Cola ceased their operations, Visa, MasterCard. Essentially, they're trying to throttle Putin economically.
Can we maybe call it they're trying to cancel a country?
Yeah, that's a great way of
putting it. Russia is being cancelled.
Yeah.
The Russian narrative, the Russian perspective, the Russian banking system, the Russian economy, Russian oil, the Russian currency. We are trying to, and you made the point to me in that text you sent me, what are going to be the repercussions of cancelling a country and its economy, reducing it?
Yeah. I mean, well, exactly, because the one thing that's obvious, Alana, that I think some of us can see anyway, is that Russia and China are now strategically aligning.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not.
But David, another point: if the Western so-called open markets and open economy and you know, Western freedom can do this to another country.
Yeah.
I want to escape further into crypto and anything outside, not within the state, anything that is uncontrolled by the state. So certainly it doesn't reflect well on the West, does it?
It doesn't at all.
To rubble a country.
Yeah, because you and I have talked, Alana, over our many shows together now about cancel culture in terms of, you know, deep tech, and big media and all, and how they cancel people like us. But as you say, this is essentially a pretty relatively major state, and certainly a country with a big history behind it. Being
militarily, Russia's a superpower.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Economically, it isn't, but militarily, Russia's a superpower. And if Zelensky had any sense and a sense of his neighborhood, he would have rejected. He would. How did Doug McGregor put it? A non-aligned, neutral Ukraine, friends with all, sort of Switzerland, if you will. He would have become less cozy with the West. We are not really, we're helping them, you know, it's just sort of, I think of Mitzada, you know, the story of Mitzada when the Hashmonaim fortified themselves on the top and died. And I mean, the Ukrainians are in a similar situation.
Exactly.
And the Roman army was just laying siege to them. The Ukrainians are in a terrible situation. Will they get help? Somehow, the country's going to be reduced to absolutely nothing. The economy, the cities are going to be leveled. And then eventually a pro-Russian or Russia-friendly, a Russian-tolerant administration is going to rise from the ashes. But if Zelensky or any other politician was aware of what, you know, John Mersheimer calls, great power politics, and I call real politics, he would have become less cozy with NATO and the EU and the United States, which is really directing this. You know, this is neoconservative ideology, because the Europeans have always been more moderate about Russia. And he would have negotiated with Putin, disavowed NATO membership, disavowed nukes, disavowed training of the United States, having United States special forces and other military presence in the Ukraine, not posing a threat. He would have done all those things. Instead, this is what he has wrought. Americans have wrought.
Absolutely. And there is that huge military imbalance between Russia and Ukraine. And I saw a piece, Alana, that you put up in your Berlia blog. I think we should have it. I think we'll just bring that. I enjoy this, and then I'm going to bring up another one. You put up, if we bring it up here, the ghost of Kiev is reincarnated, because as we know, the ghost of Kiev unfortunately didn't exist. We've now got the Kharkiv killer, yet more myth making. You see, myth making is not a substitute for military effectiveness, is it? It's laughable.
No, it's a form of East European takia, you know, the Islamic practice of lying for the faith.
Yeah.
Lying for the faith, yeah.
Yeah, so you're this, it's the 17-year-old sniper who's taken down Yeah.
A whole Russian column, yeah.
Yeah, it took them all down. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. In actual fact, I want to bring up a clip because sometimes, although this is serious, you know, we do have to have a bit of a sort of sense of humor, but I wanted to put up a meme that I saw on social media, which made me laugh. If we can bring up this meme, it's in the same sort of thread as what you talked about. Yeah. And this is, I saw this one, hearing reports a Ukrainian artist has painted a realistic looking tunnel on the side of a mountain and the entire 40-mile convoy was just flattened driving into it. They're calling him the painter of Pavlovad.
I mean, this is too meta for me. Too meta for me, David.
Oh no! I love this one because essentially it's as ludicrous as the ghost of Kiev. Essentially, the notion that I'm going to paint a 3D image, and all those Russians won't even know it's the 3D image of a tunnel, and they're going to drive into it, all 40 miles of them, and they're all going to die. Take that, Putin. Point. The ghost of Kiev and the sniper that you were talking about. You know, it's laughable at one level, but it's serious at another. Right, another quick question because I'm conscious of time. Oil. I want to talk to you about oil very quickly. Oil here is just a couple of quick snapshots from this neck of the woods. We just bring up this here. This is in Ireland, Alana. Today, I think it is. They're talking about gas and electricity rationing, soaring bread prices, public transport cuts. Secret government memo reveals price of Putin's war to Ireland. I love the way they put that. Again, psyops in the title. But the point is that Ireland is now operating on its 90-day reserve stocks of gas and oil. So that's what's happening in Ireland. And meanwhile, and taking it, being really parochial on this one. That's up for science slide, fine. And then I think I wanted to share a slide with you of oil prices where I live. If I think we should hopefully have it. If we don't, it doesn't matter. I don't think we don't seem to have it. But basically, oil prices here have gone up from about roughly by 100% in the past week.
I think Russia supplies about a third of European oil, or is it more?
Well, see, this is the mystery. It does, it's about a third, Alana, in overall terms, is about 40% in Germany. When it comes to the UK, it only supplies 3%. I'm thinking,
how do you explain that?
There's a question. I wonder why. But over in the States, then, we now see gas prices at the pump absolutely soaring. I mean, they were soaring before this, even though Joe Biden pretends it's Putin putting them up. No, it's not Joe Biden. It was you as much as Putin. But I mean, Americans are going to squeal, are they not, when they're paying $7-$8 per gallon at the pumps?
I forget, I was going to bring up that it was not only the Americans who were being aggressive just last year. Apparently, the British poked the bear with destroyers in the Black Sea. Did you know that?
Yeah.
We flew bombers around the Russian coast. So there was a lot of provocation building up to this. One more thing I wanted to read to you via The Economist, impeccably true. Of course, nobody would interview a Russian official, but one of Putin's military officials described his border thus. We don't have a border with Ukraine. It is an American border because they are the masters there. They have all these vassals. Mm-hmm. Vassals, in other words, Ukrainians. And the fact that they are pumping them up full of arms and are trying to create nuclear arsenals, this will cost us in the future. So there's genuine worry. I mean, this is not a war of pleasure. And obviously,
It's a war of pain.
The economy being what it is, it cannot sustain a war for long. Mm. And there, we should also deal with it quickly before we wrap up. We should also deal with this meme that the West has constructed around the motive for war. It's to create a greater Russia. Or to return Russia to the Soviet Union, which, of course, Putin had already said, he jokingly, he's quite a wry, sardonic sort of guy. Oh, I would love that, but that's not wise. That's not going to happen. In his own speeches, he said that. But of course, this is official casus belli, the reason for launching the war in the fake news media. And so that's what we are talking about, but nobody is speaking about NATO, the buildup, and also incorporation into the EU of the Baltic states and so on and so forth, which has been the impetus of American foreign policy.
Well, the provocation is kind of endless. In about an hour's time or so on our TV over here, there's a political program coming on, which I won't be watching, but their sort of selling point on it was, I think they found an ex-UK general. And anyway, he thinks, Alana, his big idea, isn't it time to assassinate Putin?
The Economist is talking about a palace coup. I've been a subscriber for years. David Froom is not what I want to read in The Economist. The palace coup. The War Channel is interviewing disgruntled RT employees, a really hysterical woman who went on Fox News and subjected to the Disneyfied foreign policy that Putin is apparently perpetuating, began to badmouth Russians and her relatives, because as soon as they brought up this, they were not happy about what's happening. Their hearts all bleed like ours for the destruction wrought on Ukraine and the people lost. Mm. But as soon as her own relatives speak about NATO, the buildup, the backing the Russian bear against the war, she calls them crazy and these people are stupid. This is horrible when you turn on your own and you call them crazy and stupid.
But I would suggest that's the reason she was invited on, because they knew she would say that. Everything, you see, at the moment, Alana, and that's why it's good for us to do these shows, everything that people see in the mainstream media, on the big tech oligarchy platforms, it's all theatrics. It's all at very best half truths. None of it's balanced, and it's all just like we saw with COVID. It's all driving one thing, and so it's really important.
A half truth is still a half lie, right?
Yeah, absolutely, it is. Yeah, and we're not interested in those. We want truth.
By the way, you raise this COVID thing. Don't you think that there's a sort of interesting switch between COVID conformity, the same enforcers of COVID conformity, and now we all must find religion on Ukraine? Don't you think that's sort of a new opiate for the masses?
Oh, I think there's elements of that. I mean, an interesting point which I became aware of today was, I don't know if you picked up on this, but because the West is absolutely splashing cash in the direction of the Ukrainian government to fill their coffers, they've now announced a war fund to give out to the people that have suffered, obviously, with the war that's been going on and who've lost their jobs. But get this, Alana, what the Ukrainian spokesperson said, we'll be able to get your money next week, and you just need to make sure that you can confirm your vaccine status and your digital ID.
You lie. No way.
No, I've got it. It's on my timeline. I've actually got this clip, so it's indisputable.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
So, you know, Alana, there's another connection.
One ideological narcotic with the other.
The next.
Same enforcers. You're not allowed to think outside the COVID narrative and now the Ukraine narrative.
Well, we don't have, I know we don't have, sadly we've run out of time, but just to wrap up, I mean, another concern I have is on this, of these two narratives beginning to intermingle, is if we see shortages, Alana, food shortages, potentially, which I think is highly, highly probable. I know there's limitations going on in Germany at the moment as we speak. If we see food shortages and like energy shortages and stuff, it may be that our benevolent governments turn around to us and say, right, look, like this is tough. This is wartime conditions. And so sadly, we have to introduce rationings But in order for you, Alana, to get your rationing, just show us your COVID status, make sure you get your digital ID, and boom, they've got us where they were trying to get us under COVID, only they've used Ukraine to do that. Now, I'm just pushing that out there as a kind of a, well, that's what they're doing in Ukraine. And so,
I like my food too much. I can't think of rationing my food.
I know
it sounds selfish because Ukrainians are doing without, and Yemenis are doing without, and many Syrians are doing without thanks to our intervention. Yemen's still being bombed, I believe. Yep. So, yeah, we are fortunate. Let's not let the propensity for groupthink and for people needing this opiate, let's not let people off the hook, because seriously, this opinion, this is not opinion, these are facts. We are recounting. We're looking at both sides of the equation with the build-up to this ramp-up to war.
Yeah.
But if you so much as suggest this, and if you so much, people say to me, my relatives are pro-Putin, I put down the phone on them. And I said, well, during the war on Iraq, Americans were dancing in the streets, you know, after every strike against that poor country.
Yeah.
Nobody told our grandmothers and mothers and sisters and wives to stop supporting our troops who were waging that war of aggression, unjust war. So there is a need in the populace for this opiate, and we should not let people off the hook, because the elites exploit natural propensity for groupthink, call it groupthink, call it the need to walk in lockstep. So it was COVID, and now it's Ukraine.
Are you on board, David?
Are you on board with either?
No, I'm not. I think one of the hard truth is that you have got to look at things in a broader context. You've got to understand different perspectives before you rush to some of the unbelievable stuff that we're seeing at the moment, Alana. As I said, it so reminds me of March 2020 when we were being told, you know, just 3 weeks to flatten the curve. And now the equivalent meme is, I think, just 2 weeks to, you know, to don't drive your car and everything will be fine. It's the same people coming at us in a different way. And we have to stand up. And, you know, like one of the things about yourself, Alana, is I think if people, anyone reviews what you've written over the past 20 years plus, you know, it's consistent. And actually, sadly, I say, it's been
sadly, I'm changing.
but sadly proven true. And the stuff that I think has been said over the last couple of years from those of us who rejected a lot of the vaccine narrative, let's say, I think we're being proven increasingly right by the hour, and same here over Ukraine. So it's just nice to be able to talk and put out different thoughts, and people listening and watching us can come to their own conclusions. I mean, I never would want to tell anyone what they should think. All I would say is how to think, and that is use critical reasoning, which is, you know, what we do. Do that. Think for yourself. Don't believe the media. Don't believe what's coming out of Russia. Don't believe what's coming out of Ukraine. Don't believe it. British TV's on. I can't watch our news at the moment, Alana. It's so bad. It's awful. But anyway, listen, we have
a great level. Yeah, and subscribe, of course.
Yes, make sure you subscribe, hit the subscribe button, and hit the rumble button as well. And we will be back with you folks. We'll continue to do what we're doing, which is we're doing the right thing, and it's not easy, because going with the group think is the easy way, but it's never appealed to me, Alana. I'm too old.
By the way, the only person who's standing firm, of course, is Glenn Greenwald. He's been hammered for his, and of course, Tucker Carlson is an important voice. I think he's a little mute on Ukraine because he has no option. You know, the whole Fox military machine, has risen in the ugliest way. But thank God for that man, really.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'll tell you why, though. It's because the media love a war. They love war.
It's sexy. It's war porn.
Yeah, war porn. Yeah, it gets viewers. It gets readers. They love it.
But you know what? They're not innocent because they send young, impressionable men to war with those heaving bosoms and those socket Saddam. I'm hot for you, you know?
Yeah, well, and it's the same at the moment. I mean, they're sending mercenaries. I can't believe the UK is sending mercenaries.
It's so appealing to see American men clueless. The global American military spirit joining every battle except the ones on our borders.
Well, that's right. Yeah. A U.S. president very concerned about Ukraine border, not remotely bothered about the southern border. Isn't that, how strange is that? Maybe that's a topic for another Hard Truth. Anyway, Alana, we're going to bring the curtain down now. Thanks for being here. Thanks, everybody, for watching us. And make sure you subscribe again. And we will catch up with you folks real soon. That's it from us.
Bye.